Hello and welcome back to Filmmakers Roundtable, the Sunscreen Film Festival edition. I'm Domenico and I'm here with Coley today. Hi, Coley.
How you doing?
How are you doing?
I'm doing good.
Tell us a little bit about yourself before we talk about your film.
My name's Coley. I'm a doofus from Philadelphia. And I made a movie called Jeebus, where I play a beach bum Jesus. And it's a satirical second coming. And God sends Jeebus back to teach America how to love each other again. And I wrote, directed, played five roles, won in drag. The soundtrack's my 15th album, and I cast and crewed the entire town of Gulfport, including Max, the local homeless guy, plays one of the three wise men. And it was the luckiest thing that ever happened to me after the darkest. I almost died from that first COVID in March of 2020, and that's when I wrote this. And so I had not intended to make a Jesus movie. That was more of a meditator. But after almost dying of COVID, you're going to start praying. You're going to pray a lot.
I'm like so excited to have you on. When I saw the synopsis for your film in the Sunscreen Film Festival, I was like, oh, I definitely want to interview this guy. So it's exciting to have you on. It just sounds like such a fun film to watch. would you call this a stoner film?
It's got a dose of that. Yeah, for
it
sure.
Sounds like it.
And
sounds
it
like
out
it
on
could
Easter
be
420. I smoked a lot of weed during it. Weed paid my college tuition.
Hey.
The old school way, back when there were stakes, you know? So I love weed. I'm currently sober for clarity, but I love weed. Weed is amazing. And I leaned in during Jeebus.
So you have a background in music,
mm-hmm.
which I relate to, right? Because I did the same thing. Like I was a musician and then I made a film, not a feature like yours. Yours is a feature, right?
About 90 minutes. Yeah.
Okay. And can let's tell the audience, when is it going to be playing during Sunscreen?
11 a.m. AMC 1 on Friday the 25th.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. That the AMC Sundial, for those that are not familiar, the AMC Sundial, which is downtown.
Yeah. Yeah.
And is this the first film festival that Jeebus has is this the premiere?
Yeah, we've gotten rejected from every other one. And I'm proud of that. I'm very proud.
Are you planning on submitting to more?
Oh, we submit it to all of them and we save all the rejection letters. I actually take it as a compliment because if you look at what's on TV.
I know. It's true.
We were in LA shopping it for 2 years and that was almost like a joke in a movie. I have this Jeebus poster with me on a cross in the back of my car because I got evacuated from the forest fire. And I'm shopping this Jeebus movie and nobody wants it. I look like a used car salesman down on his luck. I'm like, the saving business is down. Nobody wants any saving. They're like, we're mainly doing horror movies. They're like, do you have anything with a transformer arm, Scream 7, like a teddy bear that stabs or something? I'm like, no, I don't.
So tell me a little bit about how you came up with this idea for this film.
Probably an extreme fever is where it started. So, you know, I've made a lot of stuff over my life, right? And back in the day was of the world, you know, went to Georgetown and was into political theater, you know, and I liked to satirize power. And I had a punk rock side that was actually kind of informed by poli-sci, where it was like, I know what I'm talking about. It's not just like angry. And then I worked on Wall Street during the Great Recession, and that just gave me a lot of ammo too. And then I quit within 5 minutes of getting my bonus to walk art and have been unsuccessful since. And for 15 years, I made a ton of and no one's cared. And so I made like 15 music albums, 100 podcasts. I wrote 10 movies, did a season of my TV show, comedy specials.
That's probably when you make the best work, though, right? When you don't think anybody's paying attention,
yeah.
you just do whatever you want.
Oh, I had a great time.
Right?
Yeah, no, I didn't mind at all. It's just everyone was like, that's not good. I was like, who said that has to be a thing? And then, so none of it worked. Like, none of that worked, right? And then the world flips and COVID happens. And that realigned a lot of people if you were listening. And so I heard the message pretty loud and clear. And so I always had a, you know, purpose-driven, mission-oriented, all that. But I liked being kind of more like catch me if you can satirist, like, you know, kind of like mocking human nature itself,
right.
Like Sacha Baron Cohen or Monty Python or anything like that, Mark Twain. And but then that, it got real. And so I started to realize how systemic a lot of it is. And I was flying from L.A., to Queens, New York, mm-hmm. for Valentine's Day 2020 to visit my Chinese girlfriend at the time. Poor timing. and I got COVID, and the big one. And I almost, and next thing you know, I got blood clots, seizures, double pneumonia. I'm twitching in bed. I couldn't walk for 3 months.
Whoa.
I was praying 12 hours a day, because, and I think that might have been the difference between living or not, because not even just like praying like God or whatever, but like just like your body being in a state of healing instead of fear. Mm-hmm. And I was like holding on, and it was terribly awful. And in the middle of that, the first time I had prayer, I went to church when I was younger, Lutheran. My mom was a software engineer, a really smart woman. And she said, I just want to give you a good like ethical iOS base, and then you can decide what you want. And then I became like a, you know, Buddhist kind of type. And I was more of a meditator, like I said. And this was like the first prayer in like 20 years. And it was like a Philadelphian. I'm bartering. I'm like, all right, God, it's been a good run. Okay, as far as the ladies, the food, the dogs, these are the things that make me happy. I've had enough. You could take me now. It's fine. I've had more than enough. Like, I'm not greedy. It's cool. But if you let me live, I swear the rest is yours. I will give you the rest. Like, your work is the rest. And then this Jeebus movie hit. And I'm not kidding at all. This is all documented, verifiable. And I am not even close to Jesus. There's nothing. This is a comedy. I am not a psychopathic, charlatan. But it was real to me. To me, it was very real. I'm not kidding. The reason why I was able to make this and not, like, a lot of people get mad. This is blasphemous. God's going to strike you down. I'm like, no, if God wanted me gone, it just had to go like that. I was real close. I was like, God gave me this to help me come back. And so once it gave me the download, it's just like a song. Mm-hmm. You know, there's nothing special. You know, like as an artist, we're a vehicle. It's not like, you're not. I'm not talking to Yahweh, you know, grandiose David Koresh, let's blow up Waco. I'm just saying like an idea came to me. Right?
Right, yeah.
And I followed it. And I was so convinced I had to make it, it led all the way to here. And so I wrote this script in the first take, you know, Jeebus, first draft. And then I moved to Gulfport to heal in a condo my pup had bought 40 years ago for like 40 grand. Can you believe that?
40 grand.
Yeah. Side note, in the Great Depression, about 38% of income went to housing, and currently about 14% or something like that. Fix the numbers, whatever they are. What I'm saying is it's twice as bad as the Great Depression right now. And then I walked into Gulfport, this amazing hippie heaven, and was like, I got this crazy Jesus idea. We got to make it. And then I just cast and crewed everybody, like the whole town. It was like, yes, you're funny, you're in it, you're good at logistics, you're a producer.
Gulfport, you chose the perfect spot,
oh
I think.
Oh, yes.
Gulfport is like the perfect spot for that setting, and the people there are so chill and wonderful.
I am in love with that town beyond you cannot
that's
imagine.
That's a good spot. I'm glad you did that. What a setting.
In New York, they'd be like, what can you do for me? In LA, they'd be like, I love it. Then you never hear from them. And in Philly, you would already gotten robbed. But in Gulfport, they're like, it's for purpose. We've got to make it. I gave equity. It was a true purpose driven. No paid. 49% equity shared with the cast and crew.
Oh,
so wow. The whole crew was and me for writing, directing, putting. It was about 400 grand total.
Oh wow!
It was a legit thing. And you name a type of human, we got it. And not because we got to check a DEI box, and not because people demonize that, because that's what makes an interesting art project. Mm. You have different perspectives. And the thing I would tell everybody is, whatever you want to say in your own material that you're too scared to say, please say it in this. So Native American, Black, Mexican, Latin, veteran, Republican, Democrat, homeless, special ed. I mean, you name it, we got it. And neurodiverse. I mean, it was, and the things that would come out of it, I mean, I'd say probably half of it's improv. You know, half was I wrote it, and then half was just like giving everybody license to say whatever the F they want.
So it's a movie for everyone is what you're saying.
Yeah. Okay, and we try to hit both sides. We try to hit left and right.
So, okay, I have a aching question.
Sure. Oh,
okay, so should I take my very Catholic aunt to see your movie?
I encourage it. Please do. So two thoughts on that front. One of the social activations we are encouraging this, I'm in an organization called Social Impact Entertainment Society, and it's like purpose-driven content, and you come up with an activation that can like help take a movie and then turn it into social change. Which is what I, you know, kind of going back to my Georgetown roots. And what I encourage, in line with following the FCC, not cursing, swearing, going there, grab a J and find someone of the opposite party and watch a movie with them and laugh and get over our issues. That's kind of like the idea is to encourage dialogue, not give a prescription.
Right.
And what you'll find, the trailer tends to really make Catholics and hardcore religious people very mad. But what they'll find when they watch a movie is it's very honoring of Jesus. Mm. It's actually not like dogma or like a religious satire, because I actually think that's kind of trite at this point. You know, half the country thinks, let's go back to following a 2,000-year-old book where there wasn't AI drones and the goats ran. And then the other half is like, let's do Molly and nothing's real. And neither of them are real.
It's like good. Disassociation.
Yeah, yeah. I'm like, let's get the quantum God. Let's get the quantum God. And like, let's get to a better idea of God, right? And I'm very spiritual. I'm not going to push it on anybody, but I myself believe in God. And so, and certainly after this experience. But so what I would say is, when you watch it, it's not mocking Jesus. I nail his message. What I am mocking is politics. So it's not a religious satire. It's actually a political satire using their boy. I wanted to unwind the false narratives of Christian nationalism, where, you know, the basic shtick is Jeebus shows back up and he's like, I did not say that. He's like, dude, I would not have put an AK-47 on a Christmas card, and I would have hung out with the weirdos, and I would have accepted everybody, and I certainly want to ship them out of here. And I think you guys got my message wrong. That's basically the hook. So if your grandma, it'll be a test for your grandma. You know, if your grandma's a real one, she'll be like, he gets it. It's simple. And if she's like, you know, I don't know.
People are quick whenever there is sort of religious sort of icon involved, right? Especially Jesus, people are very, very quick to judge, right? They don't even want to give it the time, right? To and I think what you said is so important, that you're encouraging conversation, right?
This isn't prescriptive
in a way.
I love talking about religion. And if people who are not religious don't talk about it, or non-Christian don't talk about it, you seed it to the loudest people.
Right.
And so right now you have a lot of loud people mischaracterizing what it's about.
Right.
So you can't just see it to them, and you can't dunk on a 6-foot hoop and go, look at those silly fairy tales. That's not intellectually honest either. I mean, quantum physics, intelligent design, the flow, the river, the universe. My math equation for God is greater than zero, right? There was nothing here in the universe, and then there's stuff here. Whatever got there that we have no clue, to me, that's God. It's like, how the heck did it get here? And the Buddha would be like, who cares? Walk your way. But there's stuff going on that we don't understand. And I've seen a lot of poetry, and it's beautiful. And we got to talk about it. And also, there's a great book I encourage everybody, like Joseph Campbell's The Power of Myth. And it's about the hero's journey and a synthesis of comparative religions. And so like at G-Town, it's a Jesuit school, so you had to take theology. Mm-hmm. And interesting enough, they also had classes on every type of theology. So I studied Islam, Judaism, Hinduism, Buddhism, Taoism. I studied all of them. You know,
I'm very jealous. I actually applied to Georgetown. I didn't get in. I got deferred. I didn't get in.
They were wrong.
You, how was your experience at Georgetown?
Amazing, but also a lot to mock too. But it was amazing. I learned a lot, it inspired me a lot. But that stuff's all racket. I wanted to go to UPenn, and I got rejected, and I cried. And I beat another dude in every statistical category, but he had a relationship. So you are not lesser, Domenico.
Thank you.
You are not lesser. Georgetown, you made an error.
Let it be known. I'm going to send this directly to their admissions
office. Yeah, and also, who needs school anymore? It's so expensive.
It's ridiculously expensive. Yeah. Especially today. But we won't go into that. Let's talk a little bit more about Sunscreen Film Festival. What are you most excited about seeing at Sunscreen Film Festival? What are you most excited about? It can even be just seeing your movie. That's an okay answer too.
Okay, so you're asking for an honest answer here, which clearly is all I get.
Yeah, you don't. This doesn't have
clearly.
To be...
I don't pander. I'm not going to watch anything but my movie.
It's fine.
Yeah.
Hey,
I don't consume much content anyway. I'm just a weirdo in my pajamas all day every day. So like, it's no disrespect. I just don't care.
Well, seeing something that you created on the big screen, right?
That'll be cool.
That's going to be cool.
I don't want to act too cool for school in that. That'll be pretty sweet. Considering the 15 years of non-success, I'll be like, look, Mom, I have value.
I mean, that's going to be something else. I'm actually a little nervous about seeing my film on the big screen because I don't know.
What's yours called? I'll watch yours, dude.
It's called Becoming. It's part of the shorts block on Sunday morning.
I'll watch yours then.
Yeah, it's a short. It's a 5-minute short. Mm-hmm. But I'm nervous. I don't know, like, I don't know what I'm going to feel, right? Are you nervous a little bit?
To be honest, no. Yeah. Just because the 15 years of not being successful and everybody demonizing you for it really kind of hits that out of you. The best thing as an artist is non-success. Because eventually you just swing over the swing set and you're like, what's real? And it's like oh, it hurts. It's like, yeah, it all hurts. Like, none of it's real. Like, it doesn't, you know what I mean? Like, dude, my biggest thing would be fail often, fail more, throw haymakers, don't listen to anybody, and follow your intuition with a good intent. All that matters is the intent. And I'm not a shock jock, so although people are going to get very mad at me, they often do. My intent is not like throw a grenade in there and watch everybody get mad. I literally am trying to heal, and they'll still get mad at you. So you can't please these people.
That's a good attitude. Yeah.
So and enjoy that awkwardness. You know, that pain, and watching it with other people there helps you delineate edits and stuff too, like where you might be overrunning a little bit or underrunning. You know, because left to my own devices, as he knows, I'll.
Did you do the editing yourself, or did you hire an editor?
I had the whole team. You know. Gave equity to everything. That's I actually awesome. Gave the editor some of the most equity because, like, it was all like energy contribution based. So, like, people tend to glorify the, you know, the director or the star, but or like actors. But like an actor, it might be a 4-day commitment, but the editor's in there for 2 years. You know, so they got the second most equity after me because it's just a lot of time. But I'm given a ton of notes, and we really worked it. You know,
and then you were telling me about before we got on the air. You were telling me about the. How your filmmaking process is really guided by the music, right? And that really intrigues me because I kind of function the same way as a musician. So can you tell us a little bit about that process? And then also, what kind of music is in this film?
So music's my first love, and I've been writing songs since I was 5, and it's kind of like alt pop, where it's like rap and singing, and it's pre-hooks, mid-hooks, post-hooks, bridges. It's very going for it, 2-minute, 3-minute, My influences were Bob Marley, Jay-Z, and Michael Jackson.
Quite a mix.
Good three to pick, right?
Yeah.
And that shows you how far the times have come. All three of them are black. And you're like, with all the demonization of DEI and stuff like that, I'm like, without DEI, I don't have a career, I don't think. You know, like the only stand-up comedy clubs that ever gave me a chance was the Laugh House, the black club in Philly. It's like, I'm DEI. You know what I mean? But anyway, music really inspired me. And it kind of is like shaman, like it comes out, you know, it just kind of comes. But because nobody, again, liked it for so long, like, people can debate whether my music is good or not, but no one debates whether I'm funny or not. So I just made so many albums that I got really good. And then the comedy is kind of me leaning into my strength. And so this making music thing is almost like breathing or pooping. It's like it just occurs, you know, at this point. So I make 5 to 7 songs a week without even trying, just whatever life is. And so alongside of the movie, I just made this soundtrack, not like soundtrack music, but I just was living life and putting my soul into the music, and then that's layered in. The music's hardcore. It's got dope beats and it's hits.
And can people listen to this music elsewhere?
Yeah, it's on Spotify.
Oh, look at that.
Yeah, yeah.
Look at that. Under what name?
Coley.
C-O-L-E-Y.
Okay. Yeah. C-O-L-E-Y. And the music keeps it wavy, as you know. Like music is really cool with comedy and punchlines and film too, because it's like you only got 2 minutes and like you can't be off beat. So, like, while some movies might be 2 hours and 20 minutes long, you know, they got to tie up the story and da 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 da. It's like music really makes you, that's why it's a 90-minute movie. It's like, it's not about being short. It's just like you don't want to overstay your welcome, you know, and the pocket timing of music keeps it real wavy. And this was the waviest thing I've ever made. I mean, I was super ninja while making all that other stuff and like meditating and sober and just like taking it way too serious. And then after almost dying, I just had a blast making Jeebus. I honestly made this blind. I was stoned and on kratom and God knows what for 2 years straight, and somehow ended up with this movie.
I mean, you should be having fun. I feel like when it comes to art, you got to be enjoying what you're doing.
What would Jeebus do?
What would Jeebus do? I feel like we should end with what would Jeebus do. It has been an absolute pleasure having you on the show. Is there anything else you want to say?
Just thank you deeply. And I really appreciate y'all putting a light on it. As I said, not too many people do, and I really appreciate it.
So Jeebus is going to be playing Friday at the AMC Sundial, Friday at 11 a.m. Friday 11 a.m., AMC Sundial, Sunscreen Film Festival. So lovely.
And then we're doing a premiere party on Saturday, the 26th, where I'm going to perform Love Is My Religion with Solar Flare, which is a artist with disabilities band with Project Free, Down syndrome, autism, disabled, you name it. So it's me, Siobhan, who's a local Tampa music hero, and the band. We're going to perform Love Is My Religion and then show the movie at the Hickman Theater. And everybody's welcome.
What time is that?
5 p.m.
5 p.m. on
Gulfport
Saturday.
And JeebusMovie.com. And be nice to each other.
What would Jeebus do?